Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Purple People Eaters podcast. I'm Chris, he's Aaron, and we're here to discuss a couple of things, a lot actually, about the Vikings drafts. We'll have a draft preview. We've done some mock drafts. We'll kind of work our way through that. Lots to talk about, obviously. We'll talk about the overall, you know, team needs, position to position. We'll kind of rank the needs, you know, by importance, because we were just actually talking, you know, we really like our starting safeties now, but who's playing behind them? We definitely need to draft a safety. So there's a variety of things that we'll talk about. Like I said, will we move up? Will we move down? Will we get into the second round some way, or will we just stay put right at 14 and figure that stuff out? And we'll also talk about the recent Orlando Brown trade. Last year, we were talking about, hey, we need to do this, we need to do that. Williams was a big name there for the Skins and the Niners. You know, lost somebody and they filled in right there with like a possible Hall of Fame type guy. And now look at what the Chiefs did. Was it worth it, though? Could we have realistically actually not just pulled off the trade, but the contract extension involved in that? So we'll talk about a variety of things for this year Vikings draft preview. Last couple of shows, we've been on the Timberwolves. You know, we're doing a show today on Monday. Next Monday, we'll do a show post-draft. And then we'll do, another Timberwolves show or two to close out the season, because I'm pretty sure they're not going to get that 10th spot to get into the play-in. Who knows? No, actually, I think mathematically they've been out of it since the new year. So we're going to talk that through. And then we just as a reminder, too, we'll do two, maybe three of those rewinds, those classic throwback shows last year. We did a variety of them. The Randy Moss one was really fun. We did one from the 80s, the 90s, yada, yada, yada. We're going to do a Denny Green one this year. We got to do a Chris Carter throwback. So look for those sometime in late May. We'll do a couple and then we'll shut this puppy down. But if this is your first time listening to the Purple People Eaters podcast, welcome. It streams live, or it streams at a variety of places. It streams live on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Rope It Up, though, to find it. You know, some people download or listen to the browser. You don't have to do it there. You can find the platform on Apple Podcasts under the Rope It Up Radio, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, variety of other spots. We're also part of the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network, which can be found almost everywhere. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's football, basketball, baseball, boxing, everything in between. And a couple of months ago, Aaron started the Living in Loserville Spricker page. So it's a combination of stuff. But, you know, recently in the last month or so, he's done two mock drafts, if you want to go check those out too. But go listen to some shows over there on Living in Loserville. He has his own type of show too. It's not just sports. At Spricker, like I said, Living in Loserville. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV. The plans start as low as $69 a month. Simple pricing, no hidden fees, no annual contract. You can stream it anywhere on any device. The cloud DVR is available. And for a limited time here, the choice package, if you sign up for that one, gives you a free year of HBO Max. And then this one is really limited. Also, for the rest of the season, which is about a month, you get a free the NBA League Pass Premium. I really just chewed that up. But that's limited time. AT&T TV now. Okay, let's get into this. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron. And obviously a lot to discuss on a dreary Monday afternoon, late afternoon, I'll say. First of all, how you doing? And second of all, let's dig into this Orlando Brown trade as well. I want your thoughts on this, sir.
Hey, man, I'm doing well. It's National Three Cone season, Chris. So we're hearing three cone this, three cone that, height, weight, speed, arm length, hand size, all that stuff that goes along with the National Football League draft. So we'll get this preview under the now. Orlando Brown, where were you when we found the news of the trade? It kind of brings back memories of last year and Trent Williams. We were all kind of hyped up about that. Got into the draft, found out that he went to the Niners. This year it's Orlando Brown. Traded from Baltimore to the Kansas City Chiefs, who in one offseason have completely upgraded their offensive line, something that we've been trying to do for 5 years.
Yes, indeed. It is bittersweet. You know, you're just like, wow, so they really do give a shit about, even with the best quarterback in the league, they still care about their offensive line. And Baltimore, you figure Baltimore would be like, hey, we can get more out of Minnesota. Why don't we trade with Minnesota? We'll get more out of them. Kansas City gets, obviously, the big man Orlando Brown, who wasn't a guard or a center. He was a tackle just on the other side, so you're not taking a huge risk there. They do get a this year's second round pick, which is number 58, and then a sixth round pick next year. Baltimore, though, gets a first rounder this year, a third rounder, a fourth rounder, and a fifth rounder next year. Now, obviously, this comes with a price to pay next year, especially at left tackle. He's going to cost a fair amount. Do you think we could have just done this deal straight up? What are your thoughts on this? Because a lot of people are kind of shaking their head. Like you said, last year we were in a similar situation and we didn't pull the trigger, or we couldn't get it done, however that worked out.
Well, Chris, it's hard to really tell. Either we were out of this thing earlier than anybody thought, or we were never involved in it to begin with, or we drove too hard of a bargain, or weren't willing to commit, or something like that. But as we all thought we were going to end up, you know, possibly being in the Orlando Brown sweepstakes, we clearly did not end up with Orlando Brown. Now, I thought what Kansas City gave was something we could have gave, maybe a little bit better than Kansas City gave. And so I'd been willing to make that deal. So it's hard to tell what happened in the back rooms and how that went down. But I got to say, if we wanted it, we probably could have got it. So therefore, you know, something just hung up there. It makes me question if we were ever really involved in it, or if we were involved in it at the time of the trade at all.
Yeah, because it's one thing to do what the Niners just did, where they moved up to the third spot. They gave away their 12 and a third rounder, 2022 first rounder, and 2023 first rounder. I mean, that's a lot for them to try to get a franchise QB. But yeah, when you look at what they gave, it's like, that seems like a pretty damn good deal. I see some third and fourths in there. Well, we got some third and fourths this year, not just ours. So it is very disappointing. Now, obviously, the money goes into it. O'Neal is going to get a large deal, and then he would also get one, and it would be literally next year, whether it's somewhere in the offseason now in the summer, that one or the both would get done, or as they close next year. A lot of times those deals, you know, get done before the new year. Obviously, I think, you know, I kind of feel like money had more to do with it, because, yeah, I mean, when you look at what they gave up, this is definitely worth getting, because like I said, it's not like he was a center or a guard and we're moving him. You know, he played tackle. So I really think it's money.
I have to agree with you. It has to be money. We have, you know, we're missing parts on this offensive line, Chris, and we went all through free agency, you know, trying to restock defense, and really nothing at all for the offense except for Mason Cole, who's at best probably a reserve guard. So obviously they had their mindset on the draft. It just makes you think that they probably were in the trade, or at least in the market for Orlando Brown, and just couldn't get it done for whatever reason. But I got to say that I fall with you with the money situation, paying two tackles next year under the cap restrictions that we're under at the time would have been a difficult ask.
Yeah, and I suppose anyone paying two off, you know, solid. I mean, offensive line tackles do make a lot of money, so to owe them both in 1 year, I suppose that would put folks under the gun. But, hey, if I want to win now, it's a win now. And like you said, it was only Cole. And maybe we disagree as far as I think the tops he could be as a serviceable starter. But he may be exactly that, just a reserve. Like, hey, it's a depth guy. Yeah, he's young, so it's better than a 30-year-old depth guy. But, you know, he's only played two games as a starter at that position beyond, like, maybe getting in there, you know, in scrub time or if someone got hurt for the week or whatever.
You know, I think something we might have overlooked here is maybe player had a choice. You know, maybe Brown had a choice.
Sure.
You know, he could have said, I'd rather go to KC, you know, rather than the Vikings, maybe try to go win a title down there. That makes a little bit of sense. And I think, you know, that probably had some degree of what he actually went into play there. I couldn't imagine it wouldn't.
Yeah. And then the other side of it is, well, you're under contract. We're not going to owe you, or we're not going to probably, they probably don't want to pay two tackles, especially their other tackles making really big money. So, and deserving so, by the way. So, yeah, I mean, part of that is, I think you're, you know, that's a good line of thinking. Also, though, well, if the team gets more back, which we could just, like you said, give a little bit more, and that would be more value for them, I don't know how much maneuverability, although 1 year left on his deal, leverage-wise, free agents coming around the corner, I don't know. I mean, you could pick where you want to go next year, buddy, in your free agency, but we're going to show you. So, yeah, it could be worked both ways because we could have just gave a little bit more, and then the team would be like, well, we don't care where he goes. Here you go. But either way, the bottom line is, as you said, they worried about their offensive line. And sure, we can look at, you know, the last maybe six games of the season in the playoffs when they had injuries. And, you know, one of their dudes got pretty old kind of quick this year. But their offensive line all of a sudden was just a mess down the stretch. And in the playoffs, it was really, really ugly. But, yeah, it just goes to show you, back-to-back years now, you know, folks either care about their line or they don't. And speaking of line, we said real early in this process before free agency, as we're winding down in the preview, you know, show for free agency as well, is defensive line and offensive line. Those are very important, and we should be drafting a bunch of those, whether they're inside, outside, on both sides of the ball. Let's discuss some of these, the needs just in general, and then we'll kind of go back and forth and see how each other's ranks them. But overall, let's just discuss some Vikings team needs, sir.
Well, I'd like to start off, obviously, like you said, with meat and potatoes, offensive line, defensive line. We gave up far too much in the run game last year on the defensive line, and we didn't really get any pressure on the quarterback. Of course, we were down, you know, Pierce and Hunter, who should be back this year. But, you know, we are missing a couple holes there. We don't want them played well, pressed into service. And I think we could probably upgrade a little bit there, although we do have Kenny Willekes and now Steven Weatherly for defensive ends. But I think there's a need there for an impact player, as well as probably some depth on the interior of the defensive line. The offensive line, everybody knows it's been gone over and over again. We need at least one guard, possibly two. We need some center depth, although Cole might be that. And then we need a left tackle badly. So that's that. We need a running back. We lost Boone, but that's depth. Wide receiver three is always a need in Minnesota at this point. I think that's a need. Corner, we need some depth there for sure. Some good young depth would be nice there, particularly in the slot corner. Now that we have Mac, we don't really have another slot corner there. A linebacker with Barr on his last year of his contract would probably be nice. And Wilson gone, maybe two linebackers. So we do have needs there. A kicker. Let's not forget about a kicker.
Just had to do it, didn't you? That's who we're going to move up to the second round for.
It almost slipped my mind, and then I thought to myself, oh, yeah, we do need a kicker. We did bring in some. Brought in some guy, but I don't think he's the guy. But you never know. So I think they'll probably draft a kicker somewhere in this draft. And then we can get into the timeless argument. Maybe not today, but post-draft possibly. You know, we need a quarterback. We need depth there. We need Mannion still isn't signed. So we don't know, you know, if they're keeping room for the draft to try to bring in somebody with some potential, because I remember last year, Chris, when we talked at the end of the season, You know, we said, what is Mannion? You know, we know he's not really give us a chance to win if he comes in. He's basically a cheap placeholder at the backup quarterback position. So I think they might address quarterback a little bit there too.
You know, he's a nice guy in the locker. He's the offensive line coffee. I know that much. Yeah, he's not doing much.
Well, he does make good coffee, the guy.
He's just got a nose for it. In safety too. Backup safety, I suppose. Sure. We did kind of mention that earlier. Yeah, you're right. I mean, at some point, why not? I mean, we don't know what the future holds, you know, with 2 years on the deal with the Cousins there. So we'll see. Now, let's rank these puppies. Let's rank these puppies. Now, number one, I think, is, you know, it feels like offensive tackle. Right. I guess you could throw in guard and center in there. But yeah, I'd say offensive tackle is the number one priority need heading in to the draft. How about you, sir?
Well, I don't know who's going to kick these field goals, Chris. So,
well, Baltimore will probably give us. I hear that they got a kicker. So.
Yeah, I think you're right. Offensive tackle is the number one biggest need now. I don't want anybody to jump here because it doesn't mean you have to take one at 14 or move up and get one. This is said to be one of the deepest tackle classes in a very long time.
Of our lifetime. Oh, wait, maybe.
Yeah. So if you believe what people are saying, there will be available tackles later in the draft. But I think you're right. Left tackle is the number one need, I think, followed up by, I want to say, offensive guard.
Yeah, or interior, whatever. We've talked about how, you know, since we're so amped to move guys around, maybe we could, you know, if we got a center we liked even better, well, then maybe we could move, you know, Bradbury to left or right guard since we like maneuvering stuff anyway. But, yeah, it feels that way. And like you said, it can be in the top three, not obviously in the draft, but it could be top three, you know, rounds. These don't have to be, you know, now are you going to get a fifth, sixth, seventh rounder that's going to pop in, you know, next year? Not necessarily, but we are due for a starter that's solid from day one. We haven't had that. Yeah, Bradbury started, but, you know, he's been mediocre at best. I'm sure he's had some good games. He's had some really, you know, bad games. We've seen all style matchup plays into it. But one thing that we honed in down the stretches getting him help, so then maybe we can get a better look at him with those bigger guy matchups, which is about four or five times a year, especially when we play the Bears. And maybe that's probably why priority is high on the interior, like you said, guard. And just to reiterate what you're saying about tackle, there's about two or three, right, that everybody's almost in agreement, maybe not the order, but the top three, but four, five, six, then it gets funky. And like you said, you could go down to the second or third and still get a guy that can help you next year or in years to come.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what I'm looking at. I get a little bit, you know, nervous when people are all like, well, we've got to move. There's three. There's Darisaw, there's Slater, and then there's the Sewell kid who you got a snowball's chance at hell of getting. And so you've got really two, Slater and Darisaw. And, you know, people are 50-50 on Darisaw a little bit. And everybody seems to love Slater, but to me, he kind of seems more like a guard to me. But there's guys down later like Spencer Brown, 6'8", 311 from Northern Iowa. Watch this guy. He's like a pillar, you know. So there's guys that'll be down in the draft. Sure. Yep, or the Hudson kid out of Cincinnati. He looks really good, too. So I think there's guys that you can get – you know, late second, early third, I think that's where that line's kind of, you know, set for, okay, then everybody else is sort of a real project. But I think you can find a starter a little bit later if you have to. I'm not saying don't take the tackle that you want in the first round. I'm just saying you don't necessarily have to. Let's say Vera Tucker's there and you want to take a guard, you know, because there's a gap there between the guards a little bit. So I think you want to probably, if you want a guard, you're going to have to take Vera Tucker in the first round. And then there's a gap and you might have to, you know, find a guy that you want to work with a little bit later. But for tackles, it seems to be pretty deep from what people are saying. So you don't necessarily have to dive in on tackle, although Yeah, it's probably likely that they will.
And, you know, I mean, let's not forget the guy we got on the squad. That Tice's guy is on our squad. He played right guard. I mean, we could just move on. We should, like we said, we should bring Tyson just to work on Cleveland. That's it. You just work on Cleveland. Then we got our starter. But, yeah, I like the top two being offensive line. Now, this is where it gets funky. I guess some folks would go wide receiver here, you know, in this area anyway, 3-4-5, whatever, 2A, 2B, 2B stuff, 3A, 3B, that type of stuff. But defensive line for me is next. And I am in between on an interior or an end. But looking at our line, I'm probably going to go D end here as far as priority.
Well, I'm right there with you on the defensive line, although I think the interior is probably a little bit more of a priority is the way I see it. I think you do need an edge for sure. I like Wanham. I think he can play. But I think you need some dynamic, and I think you can find a dynamic edge player. I think that's a great thing. But I think you need to have quality depth on the interior, which we don't have. Yes, we have Pierce. Yes, we have Tomlinson. But then after that, we have nothing. You might like Lynch a little bit from last year, but as far as what there is to offer, I think that just because of depth, it's more of a need.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And some of that is what I think they'll do too, but I pretty much agree with you. I kind of got it on the 3A, 3, you know, 3A, 3B, like kind of tied, whichever the best – I guess the best player available, you know, in those first couple of rounds, end or inside guy, I think would work. Then where do you go? Do you go wide receiver? Do you go linebacker because of what you said about Barr, backup safety? Where do you go after that? Because then it kind of it gets a little like, well, I mean, obviously best available player, right? That's what every coach says. But where do you go from there?
I'm with you on the linebackers and the safeties, so let's do 3A or 4A and B on that one. You need depth at safety. We have two that we know can play. Metellus is on our roster, but I think if he could have made an impact, he would have played more last year. So we do need at least one safety just for depth, maybe a guy who can jump back and forth between the two safety positions. And then linebacker, Barr's in the last year of his contract. Dubious as to whether we'll sign him back again. And then we lost Wilson. So, you know, you might like Nick Vigil, but I think we need to boost up the linebacker. So there's guys there too. Dylan Moses is a guy you could get later in the draft. If you want to go high end, you can get Zaven Collins. That would be my pick to replace Barr. But that's neither here nor there at the moment. So I think the need for linebacker and a backup safety is probably 4A, 4B for me.
Yeah. And then, I mean, yeah, the wide receiver, it's funky. The thing I hate about the wide receiver thing is it's like, all right, but we still need to protect so we can get to the wide receivers. You know what I mean? Like, I know that we threw the ball a bunch, or not a bunch, but we threw for a lot of yards and touchdowns, and that's great. And we did. But as far as doing that against the solid-ass defense, really that defensive line, right, only last year, the last 6-7 games, we talked about this, how we finally got the 8 out of the box every single down, you know, besides like 3rd and 14 or something. But we finally established that, but now we're weaker at the line. So as much as I get the third wide receiver need, and I totally get it, and I am a big, I think both of us are a big, you know, it doesn't matter the need. You take the best available down the stretch of a draft or whatever, or when Spielman racks up those 13 seventh rounders, that's where you can be like, well, that may work out, maybe not. That's a project. Okay, that's different. But I get the wide receiver. I know people have been talking about the last couple of years, but it's just – and I know here we're talking about like fifth, you know, on the list, so I'm making a big – as you can tell, I want to help the offensive line. But, yeah, I think that there's – I mean, there is a lot of depth in this offensive line the wide receiver draft this year. It just last year – you know, got so much, you know, hype on it, but it does seem like it's still pretty deep wide receiver this year.
It is deep. And that kind of allows you to kind of pick your flavor. I mean, you can get tall and rangy. You can get short and slot guy. You can get guy who can also do kick returns. There's a lot of different flavors with like guys like Jalen Darden and Demetric Fulton, guys who can also return kicks because that's a definite need that you're going to have. I think it's lower on the list. But you can also get, you know, rangy like Tyler Vaughns and Nico Collins. It'll be interesting to see the receiver they take as to which direction they sort of see us going. Like, do they want an end zone guy? Do they want a speedster? What do they want?
Yeah, right.
There? Oh, right. And I think kind of equal to that need at wide receiver is you need some more corner depth. And, you know, you have Patrick Peterson now, but he's, you know, on the coming down from his career, I guess you could say. You got Cam Dantzler, who I still think is a bit unproven, but I think good enough to start and have enough confidence in him. And then you have one slot corner that can really play Mike Hughes. We don't know how effective he's going to be. So we've got Mackenzie Alexander. We know we've got the starter position covered, but let's say something happens to Mac. You know, who's going to come in?
We don't know the Gladney situation. He might not even – that may blow over and not be as bad as we think. That may be he's off the team. He's out of the NFL. That's a weird – you know, that's a scenario that we weren't really thinking we'd be in.
Exactly. So what do we do there? Do we draft another nickel corner? Because you got to think size dimensions for that corner. Or do you draft an outside guy for just more depth out there? I think you need depth on in both of those positions. So I don't think that's something you're going to look at in the first three rounds. But come hit the fourth round where you've got four picks, it wouldn't surprise me if they went corner shopping at that point.
So we're going to have to get some more boxing gloves. Man, there's a lot of tape, too. You got to tape them up right. All right. So we will be getting into our mock drafts and whatnot in just a half a second here. Now, there's been a lot of speculation. Obviously, we don't have a second rounder. Oh, I wonder why. We won't get into that. That's just Minnesota bitterness. It happens to our team mostly. But anyway, a lot of people saying it really feels like, unless it's just a can't-miss guy at 14, that they're going to move down. Some folks think maybe one or two or three spots, which even three spots is a lot, you know, from 14 to 11. That's a lot of cap money. Or not cap. Well, eventually cap, I suppose. But it's a lot of, you know, resources potentially just to move that little bit. What are your thoughts? If you could rank them one, two, or three, stay right there at 14, move down later in the first and add a second somewhere, or go up and get somebody.
Okay, I'm going to go with what I think the Vikings will do as opposed to what I would do here. I would say number one, or let's go 3-1. So three, I say move up. I can't see them moving up for anybody but a quarterback. And by up, I mean more than one spot, because I could see them leapfrogging the Chargers for a tackle or something like that.
Sure.
But I can't see them going more than one spot up unless they like a quarterback and want to get in that game, which is expensive. But I think worth it. You have to take shots at future franchise quarterbacks on their rookie deals. I think that's the sweet spot in the NFL. And if you think you like Trey Lance, for instance, and you like him enough, I'd have no problem with them moving up to do that. I think that's the third most likely possibility. The second, I'd say, would be staying put. I think you can get a player that you like there, but can you get the player that you like there is the question. But I think that's the second most likely thing. And then I think most likely they'll move back, try to acquire a second round pick. I think you can get players you like in the 20s. So I think that's the most likely scenario, because the second round is going to be loaded this year as it usually is. And I think you don't want to miss out on that. I think day two of the draft, Chris, is probably the most important. I've said that many times, and I still think it is. If you can get to the top perhaps of the second round and be in like a pole position for that second day, so you can sleep on the first night and really recalibrate your draft, I think that's what they'll look to do. I think they'll move back.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I do think they'll move back, no doubt about it. And the success rate in the second round is pretty damn impressive from old Ricky Boy. I mean, he's really, really good at the second round. And speaking of good, we had a little list here. The amount of first-team All-Pro selections, which is the important part. All-Pro is better than just making an All-Star game. make it a Pro Bowl. But this dates back to 2010, and it's in the NFC. How many first-team All-Pros? And that's another thing, first-team All-Pro. Seattle's had 14, Dallas has had 11. Where have you been? Why don't you ever go to the playoffs, Dallas? Jesus Christ. Like, you've had 11, Dallas? I just realized that. I guess it just kicked into me right now. Then you have L.A., 11, Arizona, 10. Where you been? Well, no, they did. Forget that. I go back far enough, they did go actually far early. And then the good old Vikings and Niners are tied at 9-9. Detroit has 5 of them. Hey, Detroit, how you doing? Green Bay only 4, but, you know, nobody likes the Packers besides Packer fans, so they're hating on us. That's all it is. That's pretty damn good. I mean, that's a lot of first-team All-Pros. Where are you stand now with Ricky? It seems like the guy makes good trades for the most part, as long as it's not involving a kicker or a kicker slash punter or anything with Baltimore, right? Forget trade. Take Baltimore out of it. It's kind of like, well, take garbage time out of it. Here's the stats. Where are you at here with Spielman? Because he took over the reins several years ago. He was kind of one of the lead guys for a while there. He's been with the organization for quite a long time, but where are you at with them? Because I still think he's a pretty damn good GM besides this year offensive line issue we've had.
Well, I think he's top 7 or 8, and half of me wants to say 5 GMs in the NFL. Now, I have some grievances with him, but as far as drafting and roster building, you know, I like what he does. We did go over the 7th round dilemma thing, and I understand the logic in it, but, you know, is it paying off? That's the question. But I guess my real, you know, bone to pick with him is as time goes on, it just seems that he's running this team like a family more than a football team. And, you know, you can respect that in some ways, but, you know, we talked about last year a little bit about guys that are kind of just eating up roster space and are really not that great of players, and they're cheap, and they were always bringing people back, and we can't get over guys that leave and all these other things. And it's like, you know, I understand that there's caring involved in players, and I'm not ruthless or anything like that, but maybe I think some people can stay too long. There's always that. But I'm not trying to push him out the door. I like him overall. I think he does a good job. I just wish sometimes maybe, you know, we could get a little more cutthroat with players. But overall, Chris, I really don't have a problem with Rick. I think, like I said, he's top 5 in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's harder to be cutthroat sometimes with a great player or a former great player. But 2 years ago told me a lot, though. We did hear a lot about, oh, it's this, oh, it's that. And to an extent, I'm right there with you. But we cut a lot of fucking players last year, and it burnt us to an extent. Now, some of those guys we won't want back. We don't want, hey, God bless you, Griff, but we don't want you back. And they didn't take them back, you know, these last years. They could have this year, too, I suppose, with their depth issue or whatever on the edge. Or maybe not depth. We have some depth, but, you know, that it player or whatever. But my thing is quarterbacks have been pretty bad. I think that's a fairly good assessment there as far as him, us drafting them. You know, also, it's funny because we say, well, we got to put some stock in this offensive line. Well, you know, in 2017, the offseason after 2015, 2016, the tackle display was just horrendous. And they, you know, they went out and got 2 tackles. One of them stuck. And that's pretty good. I like that. They definitely invested in it. And to be fair, they have – it's been 3 years in a row where they did draft a first and 2 second-rounders on the offensive line. Now, only one of them, O'Neal, has turned out to be like, yes, he's a damn good player. Let's extend him. The book is clearly still out with Bradbury. Hopefully he gets some help so we can see if that helps him. And then we'll see, you know, where Cleveland is. But quarterback has been a mess with him. It's not just him, because Childress did, you know, was big on T-Jack, that the Ponder was just like, and this has nothing to do with, you know, the Miami Florida State thing, rivalry. But I knew, I mean, you know, Ponder, it was just like, come on, dude, where did we get him? Nah, that's a reach. But overall, like you said, though, I think he does. And then the free agency, the second or third rounds. I mean, overall, I like what he does. And maybe because of the offensive line and quarterback to an extent, that would put him out of the top five, kind of like I kind of liked where you ranked him. But he's nowhere near as bad as some folks, you know, say he is.
Yeah, I mean, but, I guess I would just rather, you know, maybe I've said it the wrong way. I wish he would take more chances. He seems to be kind of a, you know, like a stockbroker who doesn't really want to, you know, he just goes with the chalk, you know, and I just feel like I'd like to see him, you know, maybe move up in some drafts, you know, take some shots on some quarterbacks. I know it's frightening and all that, but if Ziggy's going to give you the leeway to do these things, you know, go and try it. You got to get a franchise quarterback here sooner or later. You've got to fix this offensive line. You know, he took a shot with Kirk. I understand that, mixed reviews on how that's paying off, but I understand what he did. I'm never going to blame him for that. He took a shot. You got to take shots. And I think maybe I'd like to see him do a little bit more of that.
Sure. So that can be free agency as well, not just the draft. Any other things that we want to talk about before we jump right into the mock drafts that both of us did? We're going to focus more on Aaron's. I'll talk a little bit about mine. Mine's only a five-rounder, but he has trades. His is more realistic, especially with our guy Rick. But any other items you want to discuss before we dive right into this thing?
No, it just seems like every year, Chris, I get excited for the draft, you know, come about February. And I get really excited about it. And then as draft time approaches, I am just sick of it. I'm just right. Sick of the draft talk. I'm sick of the mocks. I'm sick of everything that goes along with it. And it's just funny how every year that kind of cycle just kind of goes. So, you know, it's almost like the draft is like sweet release from all this draft talk and speculation. When it really comes down to it, you know, none of us know these teams' boards. So we're all going to be surprised by some picks. Not going to go the way, you know, the media thinks it's going to go. It's going to go the way the teams see things. And so it's always interesting to kind of go through the whole, you know, up to draft time. And right now it's just like, I can't wait for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and just get it over with.
And let's hear from Kyle Shanahan. And this kind of gives us a brief point to what we should like. A lot of people know this. A lot of people know that. I like what Kyle had to say here.
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday.
That was literally a question.
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday.
And that goes for everybody. So, I mean, I don't know what this guy knows or what he's on, allegedly. I don't really know what's going on with this guy. But, man, I can see why, you know, he's talked about really well. That's some smokescreen if I've ever heard of it. So Jimmy G is not on the squad is what you're telling us. Unless he's alive. If he's alive, there's a chance.
Well, we're going to get the draft in. I mean, Sunday is Sunday, so we're going to get it in. So that's good. After that, I don't know if alien invasion or, you know, some sort of asteroids coming, but – that's a fairly cryptic quote. And if it's just for Jimmy G, I wonder, you know, what Jimmy G said to maybe get him in that mood, because it's a hell of a quote.
Boy, is it. All right, so let's break down the actual draft, like how many we got in this one and that one. Do you want to run down the, you know, what we got? Because we know we don't got a second right now. But we got more than you think in the – or not than you, but than some folks think as far as in the third and fourth and fifth rounds.
From what I know, we have a first, pick 14. We have two-thirds, four-fourths, two-fifths, and one-sixth. So that
or two-sixths maybe and one-seventh.
No, we don't have a seventh. We lost that in
I keep forgetting that. This is from March.
For some malfeasance, we lost that. And then we lost a sixth we traded a sixth away. Mm, so we have one sixth, we have two fifths, four fourths, two threes, and one first-round pick as of now. That's going to change it.
I mean, four fours and two threes tells me we're in the second round. You know what I mean?
One would think.
That's what it feels like. But how is Spielman getting sleep? If we don't have seventh rounders, he's like, Jesus Christ, what are we going to do? What am I going to do? All right.
Well, I handled that in my mind.
All right, good, good. That's nice. We'll email that to the Vikings representatives. All right, let's figure it out, Rick. Yeah. So mine's just straight up five rounder. I'll talk about it here and there, but the lead guy here is going to be Aaron. He's the draft guy here as far as the team goes. So why don't we start out and get your stuff going here, sir? This mock draft, the final mock draft 2021.
So we have, I did four trades here. Now I'll go and list off the trades instead of just going down pick by pick and doing it. So I did make a trade in the first round. I moved back. I think that's fairly consistent with what we think Rick might do. I traded with the New York Jets. I gave them pick one, or pick 14 actually, in the first round. Wish we had pick one. And then a future second round pick.
I've been missing shit.
And I gave them a future second round pick. So they get 14 and a future second, and we get pick 23 and pick two in the second round. So like I said, pole position in the second round is going to be key, I think.
I like that, and that is exactly what Rick would do.
Later on in the draft, I traded with the New England Patriots, and I sent them a pick 14 in the fourth, and from them I got fourth round pick 34, fifth round pick 33, and seventh round pick 14. So we're starting to accumulate the seventh rounders here. Ooh. Moved back 20 spots to attain that.
Okay.
The third trade is the trade that I think is more than likely to happen. George Payton is now in Denver with the Denver Broncos. He knows Rick's affinity for seventh rounders. So I gave up my fourth round pick 34 and a future seventh round pick. And Denver shipped us all their seventh rounders this year. That's three of them, pick 9, pick 11, and pick 25.
If they throw in a punter, I'd do that deal in a heartbeat.
So now we're sitting on four seventh rounders.
Okay.
That seems about right. And then with the Houston Texans, the fourth trade is with the Houston Texans. I sent them a fourth round pick 38, fourth round pick 29, and a future third round pick for the third pick in the third round.
I thought you did that because Watson. Damn it. I'm just kidding.
That'd be great. But I did that because I wanted to move up and get a player in the third round. So those are the trades leading into my mock draft. And maybe you want me to go into my mock, Chris, or do you want to go into yours?
This is very realistic, dude. Especially that the one we talked about early, the second round early, because he's done that. And then this last one, I really like that one, dude. To get another bite at the apple in the third round, I really like that one. I'm pretty much plain Jane. I went with the offensive line, OT. As they say it in the business, from Virginia Tech, Christian Darrisaw. And then I went Deonte Brown, guard, Alabama, in the third, my first third rounder. That's what I did. So I'm going heavy.
Now, there's mixed reviews on Brown.
I don't want to go offensive line. I'm going to just draft the whole line.
Yeah, there's mixed reviews on Brown. Some people love him. Some people hate him.
Yeah. System fit.
Looking at the guy, I mean, coming off the bus, this guy is everything you want in a guard, but he had a terrible senior bowl.
I'm pretty sure Delvin would like him.
So I like him, but I think he had a terrible senior bowl, but I really think he's a gamer. I mean, you're not going to start at Bama unless you can perform in games. So I don't really put too much stock in the senior bowl, and I think that's a great pick.
I went meat and potatoes and said, do you have any more meat? Because I'll take it home. Wrap it up. That's what I wanted to go for. And then I went Davis from Kentucky. I like that Kentucky defense, and he stood out for me. So that's where I'm at through my first three picks. One first round, third, and third.
I like them all. You know, we're not too far on our first two picks. I'm not going to lie to you. I think our heads are pretty much the same on where we went on those. And I like the Jamin Davis pick, too. That's a great linebacker. And like we said, we got to get some depth, as well as we know Anthony, you know, he might re-sign, but he's on a one-year deal now, so there's not a lot of – even if we do keep him, we need to secure the depth there. So I like that pick a lot. I'll go ahead and give you my first three, I guess, then. Now, just like you, I didn't want to spoil it while you were going down your mock, but I went offensive line first two picks as well.
I took nice.
Now, the guys I took, I think for the same reason you took your guys, is a fellow by the name of Akeem Hicks and what he does to us every year and what we have to talk about every year. And I said enough of that.
Twice a year, for Christ's sakes.
So I went and took the toughest son of a gun I could take in the first round as far as offensive line goes, and I took Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State. This guy just beats the crap out of people. Now, I don't know as far as scheme goes. Maybe he's not light on his feet enough or whatever. But, you know, we got to block some pretty tough dudes. And I'm sick of getting bowled over by him. So I went with Tevin Jenkins, first round, pick 23. And then in the second round, pick 2, we moved up. I took probably my favorite offensive lineman in the draft, Landon Dickerson out of Alabama. Now, he's a center. He's a center by name, but he can play guard. And if something we don't like about Bradbury, he can switch right over there. He's tough, too. I think those are two guys that can handle Hicks and anybody else that gets in their way. And then I moved up, like I said, in the third to get an edge rusher. Now, I would have probably took an edge rusher in the second if Landon wasn't sitting there.
Sure.
But I went and got another guy that I thought has the traits that, you know, Patterson likes, Zimmer likes. And this guy doesn't stop. He's out of Houston, Peyton Turner. Now, if you get a chance to see him, these are the longest arms I've ever seen on a human being. And the guy doesn't stop, and he's making plays. So first pick, I went Tevin Jenkins. Second, Landon Dickerson. Third, Peyton Turner out of Houston.
Yeah, you know, they've been in a lot of shootouts since he's been there. That's kind of their style. And you know, they definitely built on the offense and as a program. But that dude, I don't know a bunch of guys on that defense, but I know that guy. And that's I like that. I like that a lot. So for my fourth rounder, I went Tyler Shelvin from LSU, D lineman. Just, you know, some depth, possibly knocking on the door as a starter at some point. And then I went North Dakota State with my other fourth. I got another fourth, of course. North Dakota State, Dillian, what is it, Raduns. Yeah, okay, Raduns. I say it like he's a boxer, and we hear it directly from the country. So I get all mixed up sometimes. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I see that. But anyway, North Dakota State, this guy – a lot of folks talk about him like, I don't know if it's in this range, a little lower, a little higher, whatever. But it's just, you know, obviously I'm obsessed with the offensive line because I have three in my first five picks here.
Yeah, I like them both, Chris. I like them. I love Shelvin. That guy's he's built like a refrigerator, and he doesn't stop. I love that kid a lot. And Dylan Raddins is a great pick at the spot you took him. I don't think he'll be there. I think he'll go a little bit sooner, but if you get a chance to get a hold of him, I mean, he's a little bit slimmer than Brian O'Neill, but I think he's got the same sort of characteristics there. My second, third round pick at 14, I took probably my second favorite player in the draft, and he just doesn't get enough buzz, and I can't see why either. I'm not seeing football right, or no one else is seeing football right. But I took a safety out of USC, Tanaloa Hufanga. Love this guy. Sent you clips of him, Chris.
Mm-hmm. I do remember this guy. Yep.
This
playmaker,
dude,
man.
Fire, dude. And he doesn't stop going. He makes big hits. He makes big plays.
Yeah, big dude, but can finesse too.
And he's just what I want to see in a safety. And he reminds me of Eric Kendricks, just a little bit smaller. Love this kid, Hufanga, out of USC. And after that, I took a defensive lineman because it's about time we do that.
Sure.
This guy, I don't know what to think about him, Chris. You've probably seen a little bit more than I have of him. I've just seen some highlights. I haven't got to see any game, but I know you keep track of Florida State and Miami and so forth. And I took Marvin Wilson, huge recruit, like number one recruit in the country, had a great freshman sophomore year, didn't do so well after that, or there's something like that story. But I guess I like the fact that the physical traits are there and Patterson can do something with those. So I went ahead and took Marvin Wilson out of Florida. I think that's, if it works out, that's a great value for the third round. And then my first fourth round pick would be my favorite corner in the draft. I saw him at the Senior Bowl. We talked a little bit about this guy gets his head around. He sees the ball. And that to me is a premium. I took Keith Taylor out of Washington.
Okay. Yeah. And like you said, with that, you know, Florida guy, like, it's easier when you have Patterson. It just feels like, nah, he, you know, there's some issues, or maybe he was banged up a little bit or whatever, productivity in general. And maybe, you know, there were some issues on his line too. You know, there's sometimes that affects people, and that's why he's getting drafted a little later rather than, like you said, when he came out. But when you have, you know, such a solid ass coach who's developed a lot of players, it gives you a lot more confidence. To finish out, well, actually, I'll finish out my fourth rounders from Auburn, Jameean Sherwood. He made a lot of plays for Auburn this year. I probably watched about five Auburn games. They were in a lot of tight games. They didn't have this great defense that a lot of times you see, but he definitely made some plays. And then Arizona State wide receiver Frank Darby, who's just maybe he could be a role player. It was just maybe the best available there, to be honest with you. But yeah, that's how I closed out the fourth round.
I like Darby a lot. Big kid, sideline right. guy.
That's why I like
big effective. Kid. Yep. Yeah. I like him a lot. I think that's a great pick. Now I went wide receiver
I like
here
Frank
first.
Too. I like the name Frank. You know what I mean? Hey, throw it to Frank.
Frank's a good name. Hey, you seen Frank?
You seen Frank? Okay. Well, throw it to him when you see him.
So I start the fifth round. I went wide receiver too. And another guy I just don't think is getting enough buzz, Tyler Vaughns out of USC. I sent you some tape on him too. Love this kid. He's just sneaking through these rounds. I think you can get him in some mocks as late as the seventh round. I had to take him in the fifth here because somebody knew what the hell was up. But I like this kid. He was really highly recruited out of high school. Played with Darnold at USC. Played with Slovis. Played with all these guys.
Yeah, kind of had a revolving door the last 2 years too, you know. So it's not, you know, if he could produce, they had like three or four guys that were in and out, whether injuries, trying to young guys. So the fact that he was still productive tells you something.
Yeah, 6'1" and a half, like fits in with Thielen, Jefferson. And I think if we were to get him, you could put Thielen in the slot and prolong his career and just – have those two guys outside, and I think it'd be electric. After that, and I'm just going to go quickly because now that your draft's done, I don't want to sit and eat up all the time, but David Moore, guard out of Grambling. You know, if it wasn't for Deonte Brown, this guy would be Deonte Brown. Same sort of body sure. type. Well, I can't really say same because there's only one Deonte Brown. If you look
yeah,
at
it's like,
guy.
Hold on now. What but, are you talking about?
You know, 6'1", 306, you know. You're not getting by this guy if he doesn't want you to. Then after that, I took some run
for thirds. That forget seconds. He's getting thirds and he's going to beat you to the line.
Exactly. And I just like him. He's tough. You know, you really stuck with me, Chris, when I was thinking about drafting offensive linemen was last year in Chicago. And the only one that would talk shit to the defensive line of the Bears was Delvin Cook.
Yep.
I don't want my offensive linemen not chirping back at Akeem Hicks and at, you know, those guys. You have to have some fire in your belly, as Coach yeah. Nelly used to say. You have to be able to come back and lay it on them. So that's why I took Jenkins. That's why I took Dickerson. That's why I took Moore. You got to have some bullies, and I just don't think we have that, whether it's in coaching, which I think bringing back Tice would be a good thing for that, but we won't get into offensive line coaches. Maybe in the post-draft show we will. And then I took a running back next because we lost Boone, which I think he'll have a great year in Denver. but I took Elijah Mitchell out of Louisiana. You know, kind of a Cook type back, fast, good at running the zone plays. He's probably not going to see a lot of time unless he's amazing. So I think, you know, I took the sort of traits that Cook had and said, okay, let me get a running back to do that. In the sixth round, pick 15, I took Darrell Slayton out of Florida just to kind of help on that defensive line for depth. You know, Pierce is signed for one more year. Let's say he doesn't have the greatest year and we want to move on. Let's have some more.
Pierce's didn't count, though. Pierce's didn't count, so he has 3 years.
Okay, well, you know, we still need depth there. So I took Slayton. Yeah. He's clearly a nose tackle. So we're dealing with these big guys, Shelvin, Slayton, you know, Tomlinson, Pierce, all in that vein. And then maybe some guy with a little juice like Marvin Wilson as well. And then I'm in the seventh round now, Chris, and I'm starting to take flyers. I like this kid a lot. I don't know what you want to do with him. What I would do with him is I would do special teams. He's
going to
be a great special teams player. You know, I didn't take a kicker, but I took Ben Mason out of Michigan. So this guy's a fullback. He's nasty. He beat the shit out of the Gophers last year. Just a fullback will clean out the hole. And, you know, this guy is unbelievable, tough. You know, kind of reminds me of like a Navy SEAL or something. This guy's like just a beast. And at the very least, you're going to get great special teams play out of him. So I figured take a flyer on him. I backed up a little bit of safety help with Tariq Thompson out of San Diego State. This guy, you know, he's safety depth at this point. Let's get four in rotation if we can. I took a tight end because now we're down to two, except for a guy on the practice squad. So I took Zach.
Yeah, that's a good call. Can't forget about that.
Took Zach Davidson. Zach Davidson out of Missouri State, Central Missouri State. So, you know, he's never heard of the guy.
Never heard of him. I've heard of the
– Saw –
The you know, we used to have fun with those small schools like Red River Bush and, you know, AT&T, just add some kind of technical thing to it. Nah, I don't know him.
Yeah, I've never heard of Central Missouri State either. So, you know, I took him because of size. He's like 6'7". He's a big kid. So I figured blocking tight end, you know, something that can work in depth. And then I rounded it out with a quarterback since we didn't take one anywhere else in the draft. I took Shane Bouchel out of SMU. Mm-hmm. He was kind of the best of what was left. I think he's got some talent.
That's for sure.
Big numbers, got a chance. And that's really a want in the backup quarterback. I mean, I want a guy who has a chance. And I don't see that in Mannion. I don't see that in what I've seen from, you know, Nate Stanley or Jake Browning. All of those three, I like Jake Browning probably the best. But if you're going to keep picking low round quarterbacks and, you know, trying to hit lightning in a bottle, I guess this is the next shot at lightning in a bottle. Shane Bouchel out of SMU. So to round it off, first round, Tevin Jenkins, second round, Landon Dickerson, third round, Peyton Turner, Tanalo Hufunga, Marvin Wilson. Fourth round, I took Keith Taylor. Fifth round, I took Tyler Vaughns, David Moore, Elijah Mitchell. Sixth round, I took Darrell Slayton. Seventh round, I took Ben Mason, Tariq Thompson, Zach Davidson, and Shane Bouchel. That, I think, if it happens, I'd be pretty satisfied with it. But like I said, if Lance is on the board at 14, you got to take him.
Strike. And then I have 2/5 left. I got edge rusher from Penn State, Shaka Tony, which I thought he'd go a little higher from what I've seen. And then I like this dude because I've seen a lot of Auburn. He was another fifth rounder, another wide receiver, Seth Williams from Auburn. He can go get it. It's kind of in a sense like Darby, but he had a lot of, you know, double coverage, chuck it down there. He'd come up with it, made a lot of catches in traffic, and that is something. Although we see the range much better with Jefferson than we've had probably since Sidney Rice for wide receiver, of course. But we need that. We definitely need that. I mean, don't get me wrong. Jefferson's a stud. We know that. We know I like adding a wide receiver right now because of what you said about Thielen in the slot. Clearly, Thielen's, you know, you get him in the red zone. What do you get, 14 touchdowns? Right, 10 of them were in the red zone. So, but yeah, Seth Williams, just a go-get-it type guy, whether that's deep, and then we can run the other guys crossing or just, you know, another red zone threat.
I like it. That's what we were saying earlier, Chris, about the flavor of wide receiver is going to really tell a lot of what they think they have and what they want to do in the future. I mean, if you can think you can continue with Adam at like, what, 32 now, I think, maybe, outside.
Yeah, his first couple of years, he didn't get a lot of wear and tear, though. That is for sure, because he wasn't in much. So that kind of plays into it.
But sure.
Still, legs, you know, joints, like that stuff gets – it's tough, man. That's why hamstrings and toe injuries are like just a death sentence for that year for skilled players, right? I mean,
and if you can get a good outside guy who can, you know, work that position, Adam in the slot is deadly, and that I think that would help, and also help us break out of this, you know, two tight end sets all the time, and maybe throw the ball around a little bit more with another wide receiver. So I think that's a great pick. I like Seth Williams as well. I think I like him. He wasn't there for me. I probably would have took him as well.
All right. Well, we'll be back next. Does next Monday work for you, sir?
Certainly, man. It sure does. Right. You know, like I said, this is a draft season, man. And it's like, you know, I liked it when it was one day. I preferred that. But they decided for money reasons, I suppose, to stretch it out over three. So I'm sure you and I will be texting back and forth and having a good time with it. So, yeah, follow us on Instagram at Living in Loserville. Check out the Spricker page, also named Living in Loserville. And thanks for listening.